Hi, this is John Finkelstein calling in.
Hey, John, this is Alan. Thanks for calling in.
Alan, what a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, absolutely. We're looking forward to Sunday night. You're coming, Vinnie Brand Stress Factory.
I am thrilled and appalled that Vinnie Brand would ever book me in his house. Thank you.
Now, I know you're going to be at the New Jersey one tomorrow night, but is that your first time there? The Connecticut one, I know, just opened about a year ago.
Yeah. I've never played the Jersey one. I've been asked to play there several years, and I never have. And I've been off, like, doing a lot of political touring. And I had a kid, which ended my life, so I didn't do touring for a while. So, yeah, I am finally, as a Long Island refugee, hitting the whole tri-state area this week.
Oh, wonderful. Are you on the East Coast already?
I am. I live here now.
Oh, very nice. Is it back on Long Island?
No, I live in Manhattan now.
Oh, you upgraded.
Well, I only go back to Long Island when I want the guys who beat me up in high school to beat me up again. Oh, what is that, a book? That would make for a good hat on you. That was my whole childhood.
We're chatting with John Fugelsang. He's coming to Vinnie Brand Stress Factory for one show only this Sunday night. It's Alan on 95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County Rocks. Now, you are, obviously you're a comedian. You're doing comedy on Sunday night. But you're a podcaster. You're a political commentator. You're an actor. You're a host. How many hats can you wear at the exact same time?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. I do a lot of stand-up and political stand-up and religious stand-up and, you know, bad impressions. I do solo theater. I've had Drama League nominations off Broadway. I do a daily show on Sirius XM satellite radio. I do a podcast. I'm an actor. I've been murdered on CSI. and then, I sing scat. I do some puppet theater, things like that. Tap dancing. No, I mean, for me, I knew when I started out, I wanted to have the most diverse career possible. So, like, I've hosted America's Funniest Home Videos. I've done documentaries for PBS. I've acted in films. I've done sitcoms. I've been a VH1 DJ. I really just like doing all kinds of different stuff, and creatively, I just like a new challenge. So whether it's hosting something or acting in something or doing stand-up, I just enjoy the work.
Now, I love how in the first line of your bio, after the line about CSI, you interviewed two Beatles on separate continents in the same week. I'd love to hear that story, because I assume one of them has got to be Paul McCartney, and today happens to be his birthday.
Yeah, 77. Yeah, it was. It was the first time I ever met Paul. I've worked with him a couple times. And I was a young VH1 DJ, and I was just learning how to be a broadcaster. It was sort of like my interview school. And Paul picked me to do a special with him in London. And then they called me and said, hey, we need you to go out to London a day later. And I was like, oh, man, I've never been to England. Why? Why do I have to miss a day? They said, we need you in New York to interview George Harrison and Ravi Shankar. And
wow.
I couldn't believe it. Like, George was my idol. I always loved him for his music and his solo music and his guitar playing. And I loved his spirituality. You know, he was raised Catholic and then got deeper into it. My mom was an ex-nun. My father was an ex-Franciscan brother. And so I always respect the people who, like, jumped off from their original religion and went deeper into it. So he came in with Robbie, and it was only going to be 10 minutes, but I knew every B-side he'd ever released, and I knew if I talked about the Beatles, he'd get up and leave, but if I asked about God and meditation, he would stick around. So we talked about, you know, what happens when you die and the human soul. He stayed for 4 hours. I gave him a guitar, and he hadn't played a concert in America since the 70s, but he did four songs that had never been played live before. And that was his last public appearance. He was diagnosed with cancer 4 months later. So it was an incredible gift. And VH1 only aired like a 20-minute version of it. But then when George died, they recut it, and they put back all the stuff about the soul and God and what happens when you die. So when George died, they aired that around the clock, and you got to see George and this 26-year-old kid talking about these big, heavy issues. And in many ways, it was a gift he gave me that was just incredible that I could never repay him for.
That's unreal. Plus, you also were able to sort of sneak away from work to go to the tribute, the concert for George.
Oh, man, you know a lot of stuff. Yeah, I was doing the show
I did my research.
It's so funny because I was in that show Providence on NBC, and it was the final episode, like the big two-hour finale, and I was the sleazy best man at the wedding. And Mike Farrell from MASH was on this show, and I just ran into Mike Farrell the other night in L.A. because he came to see the show I was doing, and the concert of George was happening in London. It was a tribute show with McCartney and Monty Python and Tom Petty and Ringo and Clapton. And so, yeah, I didn't tell NBC, my girlfriend and I sneaked out of the country. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and we flew to London, saw the show and then flew back, and I was back in my trailer Monday morning, and no one ever knew that I had traveled thousands of miles over the weekend just to watch a concert. I blew my entire paycheck for that show.
Can you be spotted in the film?
No, I can't be spotted in the film, but if you watch Martin Scorsese's documentary about George Harrison,
yes,
Living in the Material World, I'm in that for about 5 seconds.
Oh, all right. Oh, so yeah, you got caught ultimately.
Yes. I can be briefly spotted in the old Billy Joel at Yankee Stadium film, but that's not quite as it.
We're talking with John Fugelsang. He's coming to Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory for one show only this Sunday night. And, you know, are you just about to go to your serious show, or did you just finish it up for today?
I literally just got off the air. Like, I got off the air at 1:55, and then I had to call you guys at 2 o'clock. So I barely had time to, you know, go in the bathroom and shoot up, but I'm okay now.
But the reason I was going to ask is, you know, through VH1, through your and now you've got this new podcast and everything, you've interviewed so many people. What's your all-time favorite interview?
Probably George Harrison, but here at SiriusXM, you know, we do a show that is part politics, part comedy, part pop culture. So I've had everybody from Bernie Sanders to Chris Christie, from Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys and John Fogerty to Tyler Perry, to Akon, to Ed Harris and Holly Hunter, to Lewis Black and Gilbert Gottfried. You know, it's really fun, and you do a good job of it. You know how it is. Like, you have to very often interview people you don't give a damn about, and you have to pretend to be interested. Really, John Tesh, when did composing seem like an avenue for you? But it's worth it when you get to talk to, you know, artists you admire, or politicians or authors. And even if you don't admire them, that's where you really, you know, learn how to do a good thing. I had Chris Christie on, and I wanted to say to him, you know, who's a better role model for kids, Barack Obama or Donald Trump? And it took him a minute, and then he said Barack Obama.
Wow.
And I realized, wow, on my show, Chris Christie decided he didn't want a cabinet position ever. So I feel like I made history.
So obviously you certainly get political. Is that what we'll see on stage Sunday night, or is it, you know, about your family? Like, what do you cover, sort of, for those who aren't familiar with you?
I cover everything. I mean, I do a lot about politics. I've always spent a lot on politics. When I was first out in L.A., I was debating Jerry Falwell and David Duke on the Bill Maher show. I once offered David Duke hot gay sex if he would stop, and my parents didn't talk to me for a week. So a lot about that, a lot about, you know, raising a toddler while your country is electing one. I do a lot of Trump jokes, but if there's Trump-loving fans, I make fun of Democrats as well. Thankfully, the Democrats make it very easy for me to make fun of both sides, so that's pretty cool. And then I talk about everything. I talk about religion, you know, having a mom who's a nun and finding out your parents were both married to someone before each other, and it was Jesus. But I talk about relationships and sex and dating and drugs and kids, and I have a child now, and he's ruined my life but given me a lot of material. So I try to make it all over the place in a pretty healthy, you know, if a crowd is really into politics, I'll do a lot of politics. If they're not feeling it, you move on to other stuff.
I think it's going to be one of those situations where who knows what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun no matter what.
Listen, I love when Trump supporters come to my shows. I always have a good time because I realize, okay, my job is to make the whole audience have a good time, and I'm not going to pretend that I love Donald Trump, but I will make these people laugh, and I'll also, you know, let them know that just because we disagree on stuff doesn't mean that we can't have a lot of fun together. And by the way, most Trump supporters are still cool and can still take a joke as long as they don't feel like they're being singled out, you know. So, and thank God Joe Biden makes it very easy for me to make fun of Democrats too.
We're talking to John Fugelsang. He's coming to Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory in Bridgeport for one show only this Sunday night. And on your social media, I just noticed you posted a picture of yourself with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. Is that a new picture? Is that part of this week's new podcast?
No, that was actually, that was 2 years ago. We went out to L.A. To do an interview with Carl and Mel and in Carl's house, and then they said that Mel couldn't come. So we thought, all right, well, that's a drag, but I've met Carl before. He's amazing, and I'm friends with Rob Reiner. So we sat down and we're talking with Carl, and then about 20 minutes in, the front door of Carl's house bursts open, and there was a film crew there filming, and you just hear this voice go, "What the F is all this lighting in here?" And Mel Brooks comes in, and he just lost like $400 of the track, and he was in a bad mood, and he sat right down with us and just joined the interview halfway through, and it was hilarious. Carl's 95, Mel's 90, And, I mean, Mel Brooks, 90 years old, the guy could break your hand in half with his grip. He's just astonishing, so funny, so sharp. And it was a pleasure to meet them both and drag them down to my level.
Oh, that's incredible. Is there anybody that you've been dying to interview that you haven't been able to get just yet?
Donald Trump.
Okay. He might be a hard get.
Maybe. I think he would be. Maybe someday he'll be able to, you know, when he's living somewhere in a country with no extradition treaty years from now. But I did host an event with him once. I did an event for him a few years ago for Adopt a Classroom, and he was pretty hilarious there. So I'd love to get him and Bob Dylan. You know, I would love to get Bob Dylan, but I think I'll have a better shot at Donald Trump than Bob Dylan.
You're probably right. John Fugelsang, this Sunday night for one show only, he'll be at Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory in Bridgeport. John, it's a pleasure talking to you, and we're really looking forward to the show on Sunday night.
I am so thrilled you're there. Yeah, please, friends, come on down. I'll be hanging out afterwards, giving out merch, and it's going to be a real, real party. Come on down. I know it's Sunday night, the best night of the week to come to comedy clubs, but I promise a healthy amount of blasphemy and laughter.
John, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great one, everybody. Peace.